jobs. And the reason why we're having labor shortages is because we have 10,000 people retiring per day. Giant generation, the baby boomer generation, is aging out of the labor market. And the thing is that the next generations are not large enough to offset the exits from the labor market. So businesses are faced with challenges in terms of not only having fewer workers, but what they're left with are younger workers who are less experienced. Yes, they're brilliant, but they don't have the experience and potentially not also the skills.
You are listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to this episode of C-Suite Perspectives, a signature series by the Conference Board. C-Suite Perspectives are conversations that take an objective, nonpartisan look at a range of subjects that matter most to business leaders. I'm Steve Odlin from the Conference Board and the host of this series, and in today's conversation, we're going to discuss the brand new CEO Confidence Index. Joining me today is Dana Peterson, the Chief Economist at the Conference Board. Dana, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
So, Dana, today we released the second quarter to 2024 CEO Confidence Index. Tell us a little bit about the survey. How's it done? Who are the respondents and so forth?
Absolutely. So this is a survey that we've been conducting since 1976 of CEOs of the biggest companies. Many of them are based in the U.S. So we partner with the Business Council. The Business Council, again, these are your CEOs of your Fortune 500 companies. And every quarter for years, we've been asking them, what do they think about the economy? What do they think about industry? And also, what are they doing around things like wages and investments? And what are their biggest concerns? And this quarter, we had over 136 CEOs respond, again, from the top and most expensive or the largest businesses here in the U.S.
It's a really good cross-section of industries. So you have banks, you have retail, you have manufacturing. So it's pretty representative of the economy, isn't it?
Well, certainly of the largest businesses. And we know that large businesses do employ lots of people. So this is really a great sample.
And historically, these CEOs, you know, they have their finger on the pulse of what's going on because they see their sales every day. They talk to their customers every day. And so this is, you know, it's really predictive of where things are going, isn't it?
Sometimes it can be, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about the results.
Sure, absolutely. So CEOs were slightly more optimistic in the second quarter of 2024 relative to the first quarter. And the measure ticked up from 53 in the first quarter to 54. It's not much of a big delta, but certainly it's above 50. And 50 is a threshold where you have basically neutral responses. So anything above 50 means that there are more optimistic responses to the survey than pessimistic responses.
Yeah, which is interesting because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You know, you just see earnings reports coming in, you see the Fed, you see the market jumping all over the place. So actually, it's kind of heartening to see the CEOs just, even if it's a slight number, just that much more on the positive side.
Yes, it definitely is. And of course, it's really industry specific. There are a number of industries that are actually doing just fine. Certainly any industries that are benefiting from a continued consumer spending on services or infrastructure and construction, those sectors are doing quite well. And even the tech sector, you know, you have the Magnificent Seven that are outperforming. And so if you're in any of those sectors, things are great. I mean, you do have some sectors like finance that are definitely under pressure. But for the most part, we see these other sectors, the optimism from those CEOs more than offsetting anything concerning for some of those other industries.
You know, over the past couple of years, you and I have talked a lot about the outlook for a recession, and CEOs were worried about that. What do they tell us this time?
We fielded this question about recession for about a year and a half. And at one point, it peaked at where 87% said that there was going to be a recession at some point over the next 12 to 18 months. And then 7% anticipated that there would be a deep U.S. recession. But those fears have really abated significantly. In this latest quarter, only 33% say that they anticipate a recession. And if that happens, it would be brief and shallow. And 65% do not anticipate a recession. So this is a really big swing, and it's important, especially since most of last year's CEOs were anticipating a recession, and we didn't get one. And I think a big reason why we didn't get one is because these CEOs, along with other businesses, actually changed their behavior when it comes to how they batten down the hatches ahead of a recession.
Now, this is a really important point, because if just this group of CEOs who responded to our survey felt like there was a recession coming, and if they dialed it way back, they could actually create a recession.
Well, technically, yes, certainly. And the thing is that the Fed certainly did want activity to slow to bring down inflation. The Fed did not want a recession, but they did say, look, if it happens, and if it's mild, if it's not too long, then that's just the pain that we would endure for lower inflation. But the thing is that companies didn't let people go last year, and they're still actually holding on to many of their workers. And so that prevented a recession from coming, and it's also still preventing a massive weakening in the labor market.
You know, it's interesting because, you've also reported and written that unemployment levels are still below 4%. You still have a lot of job openings out there, different skills shortages around the country. So, you know, this whole idea of banking talent is a different approach, you know, when you're going into this kind of cycle.
Absolutely. And the difference is labor shortages. And the reason why we're having labor shortages is because we have 10,000 people retiring per day. Giant generation, the baby boomer generation, is aging out of the labor market. And the thing is that the next generations are not large enough to offset the exits from the labor market. And so businesses are faced with challenges in terms of not only having fewer workers, but what they're left with are younger workers who are less experienced. Yes, they're brilliant, but they don't have the experience and potentially not also the skills. So that's a big challenge for businesses. And what they're doing is they're trying to hold on to workers, especially those who are extremely talented and they've invested a lot in terms of training as well as dollars, as many companies have raised wages pretty aggressively to keep these workers.
Yeah. And, you know, not to get off on a tangent, but this is why CEOs really feel that our immigration system needs some work. And, you know, we need skilled labor. We need more people, frankly, to fill some of these spots. And they've been verbal about that. So what are they saying about economic conditions, 6 months out?
Only 30% of CEOs say that economic conditions are going to be much better 6 months ahead. And that's slightly less than the 36% we saw in the first quarter. But most of these CEOs think that economic conditions are going to be the same. Around 44% say that. Unfortunately, that doesn't really give us any color. We don't know if right now they think economic conditions are good or bad, but they're not expecting any material breakout in terms of stronger growth or material deterioration in growth. So it's just kind of, I think that's reflecting a lot of uncertainty about what the economic conditions will look like, what interest rates will look like, and certainly what are going to be the results of the election in the U.S.
Yeah, a lot of unknowns coming up. But you know, that suggests that it looks like it's going to be the status quo, or they expect it to be the status quo throughout 2024. Did you get any insight at all into beyond 2024?
No, we just ask about the next 6 months.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I suppose that they would like to know the answer to that themselves. Now, you mentioned that they're a little bit more bullish about their own industries. That, you know, I've always wondered about that when, you know, they're looking at the general economy and they feel better about their own company and their own industry than the general economy. What does that tell you?
Well, I think it suggests that they're looking at their own businesses and their own industries, and they're thinking, well, we're okay, but we're just one industry, and there could be tons of other industries and sectors out there that are not doing well. You know, they're reading the news and they're seeing, well, the finance sector is struggling, parts of the construction sector are struggling, and they're saying, well, those industries are not doing great, but I'm doing okay. And so I think that's kind of what we're hearing here.
We talked about the labor shortages and their worry about labor shortages. Any other color on that?
Well, it's interesting. The percent saying that overall there's no problem in attracting qualified people but only some problems is about 51%. So half of them are saying, you know, we're managing here. And then just 31% say that there is some trouble in some problem areas. And so that's significantly better than what we saw certainly last year or 2 years ago. So that's good news where, and I think part of that reflects the fact that a number of industries have recouped all the labor lost during the worst of the pandemic. But you do still have some sectors that are struggling, especially those sectors that require you to work in person. So we're still seeing a lot of churn in the healthcare sector and also in parts of leisure and hospitality.
Okay. And that's, you know, as you said, that's got to be in person. And you know, that's still a little bit of, you know, a tug of war between companies and employees. People want more flexibility. And those are really, you know, in-person intensive kinds of industries. You know, in the healthcare requires, it's not only the in-person thing, but those are, you know, a lot of those jobs are pretty skilled, and we've had shortages there. So what are they doing? What are the CEOs doing about their labor forces?
Well, the interesting thing is that it's still the case that a big chunk of companies are not really doing anything about their labor forces. So 46% say there's little change to their workforces, meaning they're not necessarily hiring and not necessarily letting people go either. And we kind of see that as a form of hoarding, or, you know, in HR terms, it would be called retention of talent. And again, this links back to concerns about being able to replace workers who are retiring. And so they're holding on to their best people. And also for those who might still think that there's going to be a slowdown, economic growth, or even a recession, they're saying, we think that this is going to be brief. It's not going to be very deep. And so why would we let go all this great talent that we've paid tons of money for to attract them? Let's just hold on to them and just wait things out. You still do have some companies that are churning and hiring people. And again, I think a lot of that's in those sectors that are seeing a lot of demand for labor. But only 21% of companies, of CEOs, are saying that they're going to reduce their labor forces. And that's down from 23% in the first quarter.
This whole cycle is really unique. You know, and you've talked about this in the past, that when you get into a rate increase cycle like this, that the Fed has been in, it has often triggered a recession. And the reason is because borrowing costs go up and companies take action typically, you know, with cutting back costs and cutting, you know, doing layoffs, cutting back the employees. And because of this recent experience we've been through with the pandemic and the whole job change and the labor skills shortages, everything you've just described, people are not doing that. And so it may end up, as you've said many times, being a job fall slowdown where it doesn't actually trigger a recession. And I think that's kind of what we're hearing from these CEOs.
Yes.
Yeah. A really interesting time. What do they say about the Fed and where the discount rate is going to go?
Well, I think it's important to talk a little bit about wages here because companies are holding on to workers, they are also raising wages. And it's the case that 72% of companies say that they're going to raise wages by somewhere between 3 and 5%. And still another 5% are saying they're going to raise wages by more than 5%. And then when we dig down deeply into that 3 to 5% range, 57% say they're going to raise wages between 3 and 4%. That is outstanding, especially since when you look at wage growth between the great financial crisis and also the pandemic, wage growth on average was just under 3%. So this is really astounding. And the reason why this is important is because sticky wages are having an effect on consumer prices. And the Fed is mainly focused on bringing consumer prices back, price inflation back to 2%. And there's been a stalling out in that process recently. And the Fed has signaled, hey, look, we're probably not going to raise interest rates as much as you think this year. And indeed, we've even pulled back our own forecasts to just 2 rate cuts this year. And in terms of what CEOs are saying about interest rate cuts, Only 26% think that there are going to be two cuts this year. 38% say at least one cut, and 31% say no cuts at all this year. And then you have a small 2% that think interest rates are going to rise, but Chair Powell kind of put the kibosh on that. But it's interesting that the majority of CEOs expect either no interest rate cuts or just one this year.
Yeah, a third are saying no interest rate cuts. So in most economists, including our own forecasts, do forecast at least one or two. So that's a little bit of a gap between their expectations. This whole wages thing too is fascinating because inflation is not over 3%. And so typically, don't you see inflation and wages kind of being planned similarly? Wages being planned similarly to their expectations on inflation?
I think it really depends because wages vary by industry and even within industry, it varies by occupation. So you could put on a chart, and I've done this, you can have inflation versus wages. And, typically they kind of keep up with each other on average, right? But we have seen a period where wages have been exceeding inflation. Certainly when we look at wage growth right now, for example, average hourly earnings were up about 4% year on year. And the inflation rate is just under 3. So there is this gap.
So I'm wondering about the interpretation. One interpretation could be that they actually think the inflation is going to be higher. Another is back to your skill set shortages, and they're just trying to make sure that they keep their people.
Yeah, I think it's less in terms of companies thinking that, inflation is going to be higher, so I should pay my workers more. It's more about we need to keep these workers.
It's back to the retention issue. Capital spending plans were also in the questionnaire. What did they say about that?
Well, 64% said they're making no changes to their capital spending plans. Now, this question is a little tough to interpret because we don't know what their plans are. They could have been planning to expand and they're going to continue to do that. So that means no change, right? Or they were planning to cut back and they said, we're going to continue to cut back. So that also means no change. So it's a little tough to decipher what it means here. So we kind of have to ask businesses, what are they thinking about? And we know from our other surveys and our conversations with our members that businesses are certainly, some of them are investing in, capital expenditures, but a lot of it's in technology and productivity enhancing activities like pulling in AI and adoption of the AI. So whereas they might not be investing in physical structures. And if they are investing in capital equipment, again, a lot of that's technology. And we're seeing that also in the GDP data, where you see there's a lot of investment in intellectual property, not so much in terms of investment in physical structures and, pretty modest investment in capital equipment.
Yeah. And so the whole, this commercial real estate sector is reeling from the lack of investment here. And, they don't need offices right now. We've got a surplus of that. So the fact that they're holding their, as you said, whatever it was, whatever the plans were, the fact that they're mostly holding that without having any of these other things does suggest that it's going to go to technology and some of these new things. And did we get any insights on their AI plans?
Well, we didn't ask specifically about AI plans, but we did ask them, what do you think are the risks impacting their industries? Now, risk can be an upside or a downside, right? So risk just means that, something that's highly likely to happen that isn't in your base case. And indeed, AI and new technology ranked number 4 among the things that companies were thinking were going to impact their industries. Now, this could be a positive or a negative. We don't really know. We didn't ask. But certainly AI is high on the list of things that companies are thinking about.
Well, in our other studies, in our human capital studies, we've heard that employees are really worried about AI, thinking that AI is going to take their jobs. Everything that you just said that the CEOs are saying, it's hard to think that AI is going to kill a lot of jobs and that there should be worry here. It seems like the investments are more towards customer-facing tools and productivity tools and that sort of thing. We didn't get it in this survey, but we know we've had it in other work.
Well, you know, in the work that we've done in the ESF Center suggests that there are jobs are going to fall into three buckets. There's one bucket where AI is not going to have any impact, right? So, for example, AI is not going to help you flip over a patient, right? Address a patient.
Or build a building.
Right. So AI could help with the planning of that, but the actual action of doing the activity requires a human being. And then there are a lot of jobs where AI is absolutely going to enhance what you do. And that's probably the bulk of jobs that are somehow impacted or touched by AI. But then there is a segment of jobs that are going to be destroyed. But the good news is, so for example, we always talk about this, admins. There are 10 and a half million people who are admins in the U.S., and that job is going to disappear. But with every technological innovation, there is some level of destruction, but you net out to a positive. Over time, we're going to create more jobs than are destroyed. So the question is, well, what do you do in the interim? And a lot of companies are focused on repurposing those folks, right? And retooling and retraining those folks who are going to be displaced by AI to do something else, to do something new in the company, and hopefully something that's more productivity enhancing and even maybe exciting for them.
Well, 10,000 people a month retire. You keep having, you say that and it just sounds incredible, but it's a big number. And so all of these people, you know, will grow and develop, but it's the companies need to be deliberate about, you know, adding those skills and so that they can keep the people.
Absolutely.
Really interesting. Any other risks that CEOs are seeing?
Sure. So at the top of the list, and 58% of CEOs said this was a high risk for them, was cyber. So they weren't specific about cybersecurity or cyber attacks, but I'm imagining it just means anything related to cyber. So that could include concerns about whether they're protecting themselves enough or if there's going to be a ratcheting up of attacks on their businesses. And then after that, they're 53% that they were very concerned about legal and regulatory uncertainty. And that certainly makes a lot of sense, especially given the fact that we're entering the election season in the U.S. and we don't know what the outcome's going to be or what the next administration is going to do in terms of either adding or subtracting the degree of the regulatory environment. And then after that was geopolitical instability, with 53% citing that, tying with legal and regulatory. And certainly that makes absolute sense. We have several hot wars going on in the globe that are impacting the U.S. Through the economy, through political opinion, and also affecting how you know, governments are thinking about things like trade and supply chains and investments at home and also abroad. So all these things absolutely make sense to us in terms of why businesses are highly focused on these areas as being things that are going to affect their businesses.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the U.S. election, but this is an unusual election year globally. We have what?
4.5 billion people are voting this year.
That's just such a stunning number. There's a lot of change that could happen. I mean, it could result in the status quo, mm-hmm. A lot of change, a lot of upheaval. And, you know, when CEOs don't like uncertainty.
No one does.
No, but it makes it, you know, it's hard to plan when you don't know what the rules are going to be, what the cost structure is going to be and all of that. So could you come back then to the overall number, which is 54%? It's slightly more positive than negative, but after thinking about all the risks and all of the stuff that's happening, that feels pretty good.
Yeah, I would say businesses are cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Right. Any other insights you'd like to share with us?
I would say that we did ask this question about risk 6 months ago in the third quarter of 2023. And relative to that time, the list of risks and the ranking is not very different, but there was a slight increase in the intensity of concern about these risks. So I think even though, you know, businesses or CEOs of the largest companies are not anticipating a recession, they do see these kind of external things to their companies being more of a concern for disruption. So I think that's something that we need to watch very carefully going forward.
Jada Peterson, thanks for being with us today. And thanks to all of you for listening in to C-Suite Perspectives.
You have been listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.